The Bofala Podcast. Hi everyone, it's Monique Gordion, and the great news is you found the podcast, a space for stories that will arouse a smile and inspire us as we tap into our collective experiences. Enjoy.
I have the pleasure of chatting with Andre Cruz today. Andre Cruz is a great musician that I actually met on a jazz cruise going around the Caribbean a few years ago.
That I was not performing on.
No, but, you were not performing. You, that's right. And it was a friend of mine, Cindy, who got me on that cruise. So, hey, Cindy, if you're listening to this.
Hey, Cindy.
Honestly, wasn't that the most amazing cruise?
It was absolutely phenomenal. And just like you and I were talking a little while ago, to just be not only in like the presence of these incredible performers and jazz masters performing, but also then just seeing them walk around and being able to get a drink with them afterwards and being able to just say, wow, that was incredible. And they would look at you like, yeah, that was kind of hard. And just being able to have those real moments. I mean,
I love the little conversations they had that you could sit and listen to. I remember listening to the one with Gregory Porter talking about his journey. What a laid back, easygoing, accessible guy.
And I love that. Like, don't get me wrong. I love a rock star. I love a rock star. Who doesn't love a rock star? But also that kind of just, yeah, this is what I do. You know, I do this and I love that. And I just, that is the kind of person that I always aspire to be and want to be, is confident in what I do, and also, but not taking it so seriously that I have to walk on stage with a mask or something like that, you know, like, oh, this is me. So.
And who, did you see that one where Gregory Porter was talking to that other guy? I can't remember his name. He produces music,
but he
also plays. He plays bass, I think, or?
Was it Marcus Miller?
Yeah, Marcus Miller. Mm-hmm. Did you see that one, that interview with the two of them?
I think so. That was in the small club room, right?
Yeah.
I caught most of that.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was incredible.
Such humility. I was just blown away. These guys are Grammy Award winners.
Mm-hmm. And they're Grammy Award winners, who have worked with the best.
Yeah.
I remember, in fact, so on the last night of the cruise, I don't know if you remember this, but they had pretty much every musician who was still on the cruise there.
Yes.
And they said, like, okay, so we want you to play this song in the style of this. And it was a Miles Davis track. And they pulled up Marcus Miller, and they're like, okay, so Marcus Miller, here's this Miles Davis track. We want you to play it in the style of this. He's like, well, I could just play it in the style that I played it when I recorded it with him.
Everyone's
like, oh my God.
Oh, the quality. That was an amazing cruise. What a blessing that was to be there. And and we were chatting a while ago about, who's that? Sorry, that Cuban guy.
Chucho Valdez.
Yeah.
Chucho Valdez.
We were watching, you tell it because you say it so much better than me.
So we were all in, he had a performance in one of the grand halls on the cruise, and he is just up there and he's got all the lights on him and the sound is just booming through the room and it sounds incredible. It's just a man in the middle of the room with a grand piano, and all of a sudden the lights go off and there's no power in the room. Dude didn't break a sweat, didn't miss a single note, just kept on playing. And I remember he even had a moment of like audience participation. He started playing and got us to clap along. And I was like, what is going on? Like, this, and he's not a young dude. Like, he's easily in his late 60s, 70s.
I reckon he's in his 80s.
Later.
I remember.
He had good skin.
I remember meeting him somewhere in the boat, on the ship. And I saw him and I thought, he's an old dude. Like, he's magnificent. I love his Cuban jazz style.
It was incredible. Like, I was so, that was one of the other things I loved about being on that cruise, was being turned on to so many different musicians that I had never heard of before. So I had never heard of Chucho Valdez. And now I'm just waiting for him to come back to town. Like, please come back from Cuba and visit us again. It's incredible.
Yeah, I have been to Cuba. Gosh, I love that. I had the best experience there.
No, so jealous.
I was only there for 2 weeks, so you know, really wasn't very long.
Only 2 weeks.
But the great thing was I was staying with a friend, So I get to hang around places that she hung around.
Oh, I love it.
You know, salsa dancing and different stuff. And that was, although I did do a tour for a week, which I'm not a tour kind of girl, but it was a good thing.
Like I love a good tour, and I don't generally mind doing tourist stuff, but I just don't think there's no comparison to being in a place with the native. And it was like, let me take you where we go. Let me take you to the club that we dance at. It's like, oh
that's,
my gosh.
So. That's it. You're spot on. Yeah, no, that was a really great cruise. We had so much fun. Cindy's a great girl.
Cindy's incredible.
I'm actually meeting her on Tuesday for my birthday. We're having lunch together.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
And please give her my best.
I will. She'll listen to this for sure. Okay. Well, let's leave the past and let's leave that cruise and how we met and boogied and danced and would go to the club after all the shows and hang around with all the musicians. Oh, my God, that was fantastic.
That's incredible.
So good for you, right? Because you're a musician. So inspirational, would you say? Or
It was certainly inspirational, but I'll tell you, like, I was so in awe of all of these incredible musicians that I don't think I mentioned to one of them that I was a musician, because I just didn't want to be that, like, hey, I'm a musician too.
You know,
like it felt like little brother tagging along, you know, hey, wait for me. But like, I kind of wish I could do it again now, because I feel more confident. I could be like, hey, you know, this is what I do, you know, and not in a boastful way, just in claiming this part of myself.
Well, you're in a different place now, professionally, right?
Absolutely.
But remember, I used to keep whispering in your ear, go up, get.
Oh, yeah.
There was jamming, and I'm going, get up there. I had no idea how good you sang, but you used to tell me that you could growl. Do you remember? I'd say, well, if you can growl, up you go.
Just growl into the mic. Don't even bother singing.
Yeah. so funny. Anyway, so you've got a story for us. I don't know what this story is, so I'm really super keen to hear what you've got to say. So thanks, Andre.
Yeah, of course. So I want to tell the story about a trip I took to my friend's cabin. So I'm here in the Bay Area in California, and my good buddy John, shout out to John Griffin, has a family cabin up in Mendocino, which is even further north of the Bay Area by about 2 hours or so.
Okay.
And it's really beautiful, surrounded by trees. It's an actual like log cabin. It's incredible. Oh. Just beautiful, beautiful. And I've got to say,
California is one of the most beautiful places in the world.
You know, I recognize that I haven't been every place, but I agree. I'm not saying it's the very best, but I do agree that California is just, it's beautiful to me. I'm a lucky guy.
So anyway, continue.
It was me, John, my partner, and his girlfriend now, fiance, and we're up there, we're having a great time, and it had been a particularly rainy season, and so John decides he wants to go rafting in the river nearby, the Eel River. And so John is this really tall, good-looking dude, super positive, has this great energy, and the thing about John is, dude just makes things look effortless. Like, now I'm not saying that I mean, of course he's a human being, so he puts effort in everything he does, but when he does it, it's just like, oh yeah, what, you can't do a backflip off of this? What's so weird? I you know, but anyways, so John is like, let's go rafting, it'll be super easy. And of course I'm like, okay, well, if John says it's easy, it must be easy. So him and his partner get into inner tubes, and he puts us in this raft. Now, the first thing you need to know is the raft was leaking. It had a hole. So we plugged up the hole with other rafts that had holes in them. So we...
it sounds like a comedy.
Oh, my... I promise you, everything I'm telling you is true. So we have this raft that's slowly but surely leaking air. And we did our best to plug up the holes. Number two, we were not at all in any way, shape, or form prepared to go rafting. Think about the least prepared you could be for an activity. That was us. We didn't have I don't think I had trunks on. I'm pretty sure I had pants on. I had shoes on.
Shoes.
I had a I had a backpack with a towel in it. That'll come into play later. And we had no helmets. We had no life jackets. None of us.
Oh my gosh.
But John says, you know, I've been on this river a million times. It's not even a little bit like there's no white water. It's not a rough ride. He's like, it should just be essentially like floating down a lazy river. No problem. So John goes and he's just hooting and hollering, having a great time and like making a joke of, he's like, oh my gosh, just kidding. I'm fine. And his partner goes, and she's a little more cautious, but, you know, she's fine. And then me and my partner go in our big raft, and right away I'm having a hard time steering the raft down the river. And the river itself is not going too crazy, but it's moving a little bit. Again, nothing bad, but it is moving, and it's good and cold. And I'm having a hard time steering. I was like, okay, well, I can't steer too well, but at the very least, I can keep us forward. So we'll keep facing forward, and we'll just brace ourselves if anything goes down. The first thing that happens after I say that is the raft turns backwards. So now we are facing the opposite direction that we are moving, and the raft is continuing to move forward while we are facing the wrong way. I am doing my best to turn us around. John turns, sees us. I know we can hear him laughing at us as he's going down the river. His partner's doing just fine. If there was 10 spots of just kind of bumpiness, we hit all 10. No question. There was nothing we could do. But like, we were like, okay, this kind of sucks, but it's kind of fun. It's like, we're going to be good sports about this. We're getting wet, but you know, it's not too bad. And so we're on the final, and you know, we're going down the river. We're on the final part of the river, and there was a huge side of rock to the right of us. To the left of us was the beach that we were going to be docking on, so to speak, and then go and chill, listen to music, have drinks. And in between the two was this rock that was causing a fair amount of white water. But on one side, it wasn't too bad. On the other side, it was even better. All we had to do was make sure we didn't, you know, get near that rock. And so I told my lady, I was like, all right, no problem. There's plenty of room. We're just going to navigate the best we can over, away from the rock. We hear John go down, and he's just, again, having a good old time. He is in heaven. His partner ended up behind us, so we couldn't see her. We get down to that area. Bear in mind, we're still backwards.
Oh, you're still backwards.
We're still backwards. I have been at this point, we've been spinning. Like we're. Oh, did I not mention we've been spinning?
No,
we've
you
been
didn't.
Spinning. Okay, so.
Throughout
this whole time, we have spent very, very little time actually facing the direction we're going. We've been facing backwards. We've been facing to the side. We've been spinning. So We get to that point, we're backwards again. I'm trying to navigate us around, and we do the one thing that I tried to get us to not do, which is we hit that rock.
Oh my God.
Everything in our raft goes flying out of the raft. We go flying out of the raft. Bear in mind, I have this backpack that has a towel, which is now completely soaked, which means it's weighing me down. We don't have lifeboats, or we don't have life preservers. We don't have helmets, and the first thing that happens, we get sucked under the water.
Shoot.
And and again, where that rock was creating a fair amount of white water, so it was not safe. It really wasn't. The water is freezing. It is freezing. It hit us like a ton of bricks, and right away it just steals the air from you. So you're just, you know, you're breathing. You try not to panic, but I mean, as cold as it is, you don't have any protective gear. You're not moving any closer to the surface of the water.
Oh.
It got really, really scary. And so both of us are struggling and trying. And I mean, I couldn't tell you exactly how much distance there was from that rock to the rock on the side, on the right, and to the beach. It wasn't a whole lot of distance, but it was enough. It was enough that I can tell this story. And we're struggling to keep our heads above water, and I keep going down and barely popping back up, and coming down and barely popping back up. At a certain point, I thought to myself, okay, if I swim to the rock, I'll be able to stabilize myself on the rock and put my hand up on the wall. I swam to the rock, and for whatever reason, that just sucked me under. It completely sucked me under. It spits me out again. I look at my partner, and I saw what, like, a look on her face that's still, I can still see as clear as day. And it was a look of absolute terror. Absolute terror. Like, no question, no hyperbole. Like, we were terrified.
Yeah.
And I get sucked down again, and it goes all black. And I'm talking, just if you can imagine closing your eyes and just seeing absolutely nothing, and the words, pardon my French, but the words, "Oh fuck, this is it."
Yeah.
Just popped up in my head, like, this is it. I can't breathe. I'm out of air. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. There's nothing. And so, by the grace of God, by the grace of the universe, the goodwill of the universe, all of the energy that flows through every one of us, however you want to say, we were able to get up and get out of that situation.
Yeah.
And we struggled. We struggled to get back to shore. We struggled so bad. And we get to shore. We're not crying, but we're both almost crying. Like, it was... I truly don't know how to convey how harrowing it was. Like, literally just thinking about it right now is getting some emotions up in me. But it was probably one of the scariest moments of my entire life. Like, there was no question we were this close.
You were in that space of shock before being able to let go of that shock, which is where you get the tears, right?
Yeah. And I just, and still, like, I thinking of my partner's face and everything that she was, you could see it all there.
Mm.
And we get to shore and we're just breathing hard and just like, just, you know, I make sure she's okay. And then I got up and dragged myself as exhausted as I was for getting from one side of the shore to the other through all this, dragged myself to try to find my partner's girlfriend, because I didn't want her to go through the same thing. Because she was having a little bit of issue with maneuvering herself as well. And so I walk down and I see that she was actually able to maneuver herself around all of that. And she was more than fine. And so I'm still breathing hard, just on the verge of tears. Both of us are literally shaking, and it's not just the cold.
Yeah.
And here comes John around the corner. "Hey man, I saw you dropped your backpack. I got it for you." Oh. And I was just like, "Oh my God."
And where's your raft? Is that, like, gone?
Gone. Sunk to the bottom of the river.
And he's kind of talking about your backpack, right?
He's like, "Hey, I got your backpack. It's kind of heavy. I had to go a little bit down the river, so, I mean, you're welcome." And I'm like, man. And so we're sitting there on the beach, and we let him know everything that happens. And, I mean, he's a positive dude, but even he was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And so we crack open the beers that he had brought, and it was the best beer I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
No question. Like, we're sitting there alive, and we got back to the cabin. And just dragged ourselves back to the cabin and slept for a couple of hours. But
did you walk back to the cabin?
We did. We walked back to the cabin, and it was even more difficult because I was soaked head to toe. My shoes were soaked through. My backpack was now just a big lead weight with a big sopping wet towel in it. and to get down to the beach in the first place, you have to tie a rope to the train tracks and kind of rappel yourself down and then pull yourself back up. So after all of that, we still had to basically, like, rough it through all of this to get on back to the tracks and back to the road.
You must have been exhausted.
I was done. I wasn't dead, thankfully, but I felt like I was. And so the reason I wanted to tell this story is because I recognize it's not the most happy story, but the thing that really changed for me was afterwards.
Mm.
So as I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, like, I have always had a bit of an issue with, like, confidence or just me trying to really take control of the things that are mine, you know, really, really, to step into myself, the things that I want for myself. Mm. And when I walked out of that, literally walked out of this river from almost drowning, second time in my life, by the way, that I almost drowned.
Oh.
The big, like, life-threatening things that have ever happened to me have all involved water. which I wonder what that's about. But anyways,
yeah,
so when I got out of that, I really just kind of took a look at things and thought, I don't have to wish for things. Like I don't have to look at someone doing that and say it must be nice. Like I can do that. I can I can reach for that. Yeah. And I mean, at this point, what have I got to lose? You know, yes. I mean, and I mean, imagine if I had died in that river, all of the things that I would have wanted to achieve would have sunk with me at the bottom of that river. Mm-hmm. And so not long after that, my partner and I and a bunch of friends were at a show, and this really, really dope funk band comes on and they are killing it. They are killing it, killing it, killing it. They're doing instrumental stuff. The bassist is just going nuts. The drummer is all over the place. And I'm like, man, this is cool. Yeah. And the lead singer comes out and he's not quite my taste, but you know, that's fine. And then they get another singer to come on. And I was like, well, if they have that singer,
yeah,
I mean, I could audition for that. Like I could, I wonder if they would have a background singer. Mm-hmm. And at this point I had already been bands, but I kind of took a step back from really trying. And so I reached out to the band. I'm like, yo, I saw that you guys have a singer, but I just, you know, I really want to put myself out there. I really love you guys' music. I would love the opportunity to come and do a guest spot. I do percussion, whatever you have in mind. And they let me know they've actually been looking for a new lead singer and would I like to come audition.
I love that.
And yeah. And so I go and I audition for these guys and I get in. I get into this band with these dudes that have played with some of the New Orleans funk greats. Wow. These dudes who have played venues that I could have only dreamed to play. Mm-hmm. And it's thanks to being in that band that I literally got to cross something off of my bucket list by playing a show at Stern Grove, which is one of the big festivals in San Francisco. We got to open for Booker T.
really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. And that's thanks to this experience that I had. And so to bring it full circle, when I met you, that was shortly after I had joined the band.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
So that was shortly after I had almost died in the river.
Oh, you didn't tell
and
me about
so
that.
I didn't talk about it to a lot of people. In fact, that trip was when my mom found out about it. When she told me about the trip. Yeah. And so it was one night, it was our first night on the ship, and I had never been on a cruise before. I had never been on a cruise ship before. It was literally the largest seafaring anything I'd ever been on.
Same as me, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, except for ferries, you know, ferries, big ferries, sure. But not a cruise. Anyway, yeah. Continue. Yeah.
And so, like, we're out, and she's like, oh, I want to show you, like, what it looks like out in the water at night. And so she takes me out, and my brain exploded. My brain exploded. Now, maybe we can blame it on the, I don't know, 3 to 5 rum punches I had. But it was this moment where I'm out in the middle of the ocean, surrounded by literally the best jazz musicians out right now who are working, the people who are helping to move the genre forward. Robert Glasper and Gregory Porter, Marcus Miller, and David Sanborn, and the Bad Plus, Joshua Redman, and my brain exploded, and I kind of got manic in a happy way.
Yeah,
manic in the sense of I went into this river and I almost didn't come out.
Yeah,
when I did come out, I joined a band that was making the exact kind of music I wanted to play. I moved out of my a room with 5 other people and got my own apartment. I got a new job and I'm on this cruise. Did I come out of that river? Like I had to ask myself, like, are you sure you came out of the river? Because now you're sitting here on this cruise looking at all of these stars. There's nothing around you except for ocean and this cruise liner. Did I come out of the river? And my mom told me later, she was a little scared. She's like, are you going to jump in the water? And I'm like, I'm not going to jump in the water. But I literally have never felt more alive than in that moment of just looking at the things that had come to me once I truly, truly, truly felt about how temporary all of this is.
Oh, my God.
This
is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, that, like, it's, you know, if any of your listeners ever see me on Instagram or social media, you're going to see everything I do. I tag with thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful every single day. Every day that I wake up is a gift, because at the end of the day, I'm just lucky to be here. Like, I'm lucky to be here in this chair talking to you on a lazy Saturday. You know, I'm lucky to be doing anything, because I almost wasn't doing anything, you know. And so for me, that really shapes how I walk through this world, how I greet people, how I present myself, is just to let people know I'm lucky. I am so lucky, and I'm so thankful for that. And so everything that I have done since then with my music, with the Humidors, and now my own personal project that I am just so elated about, is all about showing love and showing positivity and being authentic and being real, because it's not going to be here forever. You know, I'm not going to be here forever, and it can happen so quickly. So for me, that trip was a real turning point in my life. Maybe one of the biggest turning points in my life, aside from moving back to the Bay Area, was almost dying in that river. So
yeah, a seminal, truly seminal moment.
Yeah. And, wow. And that's, it's a short one, but that's my story.
Oh, Andre, that's inspiring for me. Thank you for sharing that. That's,
of course.
A really, you know, experiences, we can respond to them in very different ways, can't we? And,
absolutely.
And you really opened your heart up to receiving. And look at you now, you know, all these good things are happening to you.
I mean, it's like I say, I'm really lucky, and I'm very thankful. And I put in the work to achieve the things that I want. One of the biggest, I have like a million life mantras, but one of my favorites is it's not just about listening for when opportunity knocks. It's about being ready for when opportunity knocks, because opportunity has knocked for 1.5 million people. And I know for a fact it's knocked for me, and I wasn't ready to answer that call, you know, but I mean, if you are ready when that call comes, and you can just jump up and say, yeah, I'm here. Here I go. You know, it is absolutely a life changer. And so I do my best, and I work, and I put in my time, and everything that comes is a blessing, because it could have gone to someone else or to no one at all. And so the fact that any of this ever came to me, I'm lucky. I get to talk with you, you know.
Yay! And when you come to Australia, we'll listen to you play.
Make it happen. Yeah.
Hear that growl, right?
Oh my goodness! I'll have to play one of my growling songs for you.
Well, Andre, thank you so much for sharing that story. It's very inspiring and honest and real. So it's great. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening to the Buffalo podcast. You know, I really appreciate it. And if you could share it with your friends, because, you know, stories like this are so real and authentic. And I know you have stories out there. And, you know, if you go to my Instagram page, Buffalo Podcast, DM me so you can connect with me and come on and share your story. Everyone's story is important, and I value that. So until next time, go well, live in joy. Ciao.
Take care, everybody. Listen to my music.
Oh, listen. Yes. Okay. Okay. Before we go, let's just do a plug here. Tell everyone.
Sorry, shameless self-promotion.
Oh,
here.
No. I meant to do that. Okay. Tell us about where you're up to.
So, I didn't mean to make it be this long of a thing, but
this is what we do here. It's all just free flow improvisation.
Fair enough. My name is Andre Cruz. You can find me on social media, Andre Cruz Music. I make a lot of soul music. I make a lot of funk music, but honestly, I just make the music that makes me smile and makes me want to dance and really just is what I feel, you know? You can find me there. I have a EP that I'll be dropping in the soonish future that's going to be called entitled Colors. It's going to be all of the different musical genres that have really shaped me. So it's going to be soul music, which is going to be represented by the color red. It's going to be blues rock, which is going to be represented by the color blue. And it'll be reggae and ska that's going to be represented by the color yellow. And we have all the primary colors, which together makes every single color. So
by bringing all those primary colors. Yeah.
Exactly. So by bringing the primary colors of myself together, I hope to show you all of the things that I can be and hope to be and want to be in. And I hope you all get the opportunity to check that out. I have a band called The Humidors, also on social media. Please and thank you. Give it a listen if you're interested.
Yeah, Andre Cruz.
That's me.
Okay, folks, I've signed off, so I'll sign off again. Take care. Listen next time. Ciao.